morning.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
You're listening to the Ion Cannon Podcast.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Your source for entertainment reviews from a galaxy far, far away.
This is it.
Hey, laser clankers!
Welcome to the Ion Cannon Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Steven, and I'm joined by my friends and co-hosts, Tom and William. Today, we are here to talk about Season 3, Episode 12 of The Bad Batch titled Juggernaut. William and Tom are both waiting anxiously for some amazing pun, but I've got nothing.
Steven, no. No, you know what? We do have
you
some...
You put all the pressure on me before the call.
I know, I did. We do have a juggernaut of an announcement, though.
Which came out of nowhere.
It did.
Which
it really
literally came out of
it
nowhere.
It really did.
William, yeah, you don't get to do the puns. I'm only allowed to do the puns.
Wait. Hold on. That's not fair. but we have a new animated series. Well, limited series, but still great nonetheless. Tales of the Empire, the follow-up to Tales of the Jedi, premieres all six of its episodes on May 4th, just 3 days after the Bad Batch series finale. So we're going to be getting a lot of Star Wars that week. Of course, it's May the 4th, so it's appropriate.
Only fitting.
Yeah, totally. But this is awesome. I mean, the first Tales of the Jedi was a really wonderful story, right? Focusing on both Ahsoka, both before and after Order 66, as well as, we got like Yaddle and other folks in there, as well as Count Dooku, too. And it was really great. Some wonderful character moments. We got to see the birth of Ahsoka, for example, etc. But I don't know about you guys, but Tales of the Empire might be even better. So
it looks really, really good.
So those of you who have not seen the trailer, if you don't want to listen to our discussion, we're going to break down the trailer for a couple minutes. Skip ahead 2-3 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, because, or maybe 5 minutes to be safe, and you can rewind a little bit. Just because there may be some pretty big spoilers in this trailer. I know some friends who've said they chose not to watch it, but
how
it
can
looks
you
amazing.
Not watch it?
Oh, it looks amazing.
Yeah, how can... I get this feeling it's going to outshine Tales of the Jedi. I really do.
Yeah.
There's so much within this trailer. I mean, so much because number one, it's going to drop on May 4th. Number two, this is the actual Galactic Empire. And we get to see a couple stories that we never probably expected to see. And the one I'm really looking forward to is the explanation of Barriss Offee.
Yeah,
that's the one I am so looking forward to. So,
me
William,
too.
Take it from that point.
No, it's a good segue, Tom. So the series, as with the first one, right, as with Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Empire will follow two characters. And they don't explicitly name them in the description of the series, but it's pretty clear from the trailer. It's Barriss Offee and Morgan Elsbeth. And the description is as follows. A journey into the fearsome Galactic Empire through the eyes of two warriors on divergent paths set during different eras. So, we get to Barriss Offee, of course, from the Clone Wars, right? She betrayed, she was the one behind everything that Ahsoka was blamed for right before the Clone Wars was canceled in that season 5. And so I'm really excited to see more about her. And then Morgan Elsbeth from Mandalorian and from Ahsoka, we're going to get a prequel and maybe a sequel, unclear, for those series as well, and learn more about her. I guess I'll start with you, Steven. What was your favorite moment from the trailer?
I mean, this is really tough because, I mean, it's a trailer and there are so many little snippets we see. Having the Grand Inquisitor come back even briefly looked amazing. I think for my money, though, it has to be the brief appearance of General Grievous. Like
that was unexpected. Yeah,
that was totally unexpected.
He looks
cool.
Amazing. I assume this is the model they use from like the season 7, 8, whatever of Clone Wars, right? The final episodes.
So do you think that's a flashback or is he alive?
I would assume
it's got to be
flashback.
A flashback.
That's what I was thinking too.
I would guess Barriss' story will start pre-beginning of the Empire.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds to me like she, you know, because she was thrown in prison at the end of the Clone Wars. It sounds to me we see her be, you know, freed from prison by the mm-hmm. Grand Inquisitor. And
was that the Grand Inquisitor, or was that somebody else?
Or someone else? Because the Grand. Sorry, you're right. No, someone else. But she then right. goes and trains under the Grand Inquisitor.
Yes,
presumably. And so I'm assuming this is all before his death in Rebels. And so, yeah, it's probably sometime during the Empire we get to see the formations of the Inquisitorius. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's so much in this trailer that just, like, we see Vader briefly.
Mm-hmm.
It's
all the Inquisitors you know and love.
It's actually kind of crazy yeah. just how much is packed in here.
Yeah. Also, well, before I go to, there was another nice character to see, but Tom, what was your favorite moment?
Yes. My favorite moment was when Barriss Offee was with the other Inquisitors and the announcement came and meet your new master and you see the footsteps of Darth Vader. Oh,
so good.
This is, yeah, because the thing that gets me is it was Anakin who figured out that she was the one that turned on Ahsoka. How is this going to go over now that he's Darth Vader and she's an Inquisitor? I know, Tom. It's split. Wait. It's split in hairs.
No. You have to understand. She's not going to be Darth working Vader, with Anakin. Anakin Skywalker, famously forgiving people. I am sure there's no harsh feelings whatsoever between Darth Vader and Barriss Offee. How could there be, you know?
I know, how could there be, but I want to see it. I want to see what happens at that moment. I want to see any kind of recognition. I want to see any kind of a chokehold. I'm looking forward to that part, period.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited for that. Also, we got a lot of Morgan Elsbeth too. She, of course, you know, made her debut in The Mandalorian and then was a big fixture in Ahsoka. And we saw her death, right? In Ahsoka. We're going to get her backstory. It sounds like we see her, looks like really young, maybe talking about how her entire planet, her home planet of Dathomir was destroyed and offering to help Thrawn. Yes, we get Grand Admiral Thrawn showing up. And then there's a lot of, you know, sequences of a duel on, or some sort of big fight with the Separatists on Dathomir. And maybe that's when General Grievous shows up. I think maybe we see her, maybe we see Morgan Elsbeth's perspective during the Clone Wars when Dathomir is invaded.
That would be interesting.
And so that's my theory. That's where maybe General Grievous and the Separatists show up. And then maybe we fast forward to her joining Thrawn. And then who knows what happens in maybe the third installment.
I mean, leave it to Star Wars to delve into a character once again that's already dead. Like, yeah. I'm. or maybe she... not. I mean, last episode we had Asajj Ventress. So, you know, or not well, last episode, but recently.
So do you think we'll get an answer for Asajj?
I think that's what we're going to get. I think this is where we're going to get the answer for Asajj.
She doesn't show up in the trailer.
I don't think we see Asajj Ventress.
No, you don't think so, Steven? No. Okay.
I think it is wishful thinking, but I think it, at least from the trailer, it seemed very focused.
Okay, it's focused, but they've already said we're going to get an explanation of how she came back.
I think you're taking that too much at face value, unfortunately.
Well, I'm also the guy who's sitting here saying within Bad Batch, we're going to have like really mind-blowing cameos that are going to pop in. So I'm going to sit here and say, I think it makes a perfect opportunity at this point to say, this would be a perfect opportunity, I said that twice, for them to figure out a way to explain the Ventress reincarnation or however it is.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Well, we don't have long to wait. Just under a month. I am so excited about this series. Tales of the Jedi, like I said, was really good. Tales of the Empire, though, it looks like it's going to give us so many cool moments, so many cool villains that we love. I'm excited. Can't wait. If you haven't seen the trailer, and by now, really, you should. If you listen to this, go watch it. It is excellent. And we're getting the whole series right on May 4th, so we'll have our review hopefully not too long after that as well. Gonna have to review the series finale of Bad Batch, and then we'll probably do Tales. In other news, before we get into Bad Batch, because we have an episode of new episode of Star Wars to talk about, The Mandalorian and Grogu is officially set for May 22nd, 2026. So Disney put out a list of dates yesterday, and it's slotted on that date on the calendar. So again, not too surprising. We knew it was somewhere around there, but that is the latest. Again, until the movies... I have more faith that this one will hit this date, but until they enter production and are maybe, you know, a year from release, I don't have a lot of faith that they will hit any date. Yep. So I try not to get too excited. And that's probably why they don't even put them on really on StarWars.com. Unless you're following Disney's press releases for their theatrical release schedule, this you would have missed this. And so, yeah, we'll see. The soundtrack for The Bad Batch Season 3 Part 1 is now out. The Kiners do a phenomenal job on that. And lastly, we may not be able to cover this on the show just because we're recording this a little early, but Star Wars Outlaws, by the time you're listening to this, has already dropped its first story trailer. It came out on Tuesday, April 9th at 9 a.m. So it's already out as you're listening to this. And yeah. We get to finally see what's up with the new game, Star Wars Outlaws. I'm very excited for this one. This one, yeah. Sometime it's coming out sometime this year. We don't know. Don't release date yet, but
sometime hopefully soon. Find out on Tuesday.
Yeah. And we're getting a trailer, so it's got to be coming at some point.
Yep. And by the time you're listening to this, hopefully you've enjoyed the trailer. But with that, Tom, want to take us into our into the episode rundown?
Sure. We're going to be reviewing Season 3, Episode 12, Juggernaut. Directed by Stuart Lee and written by Ezra Nuckman. In this episode, the Bad Batch make a last-ditch attempt to locate Tantus.
Yes, yes. So remember, last week we were left on a pretty big cliffhanger. She sacrificed herself, turned herself into the Empire, is taken away. Crosshair, you know, her comm link is confiscated immediately, as we thought. Crosshair. He, you know, tries to shoot a tracker onto the shuttle, and he misses. Crosshair, the excellent crack shot, does not make it. And Omega is taken off somewhere in the galaxy. And now this episode picks up, and we get to finally get some answers. I know, Tom, you were... very excited about this episode.
I was excited about this episode because I'm the guy who's sitting there saying, hey, wouldn't it be great because it's going to be wrapping up the episode. Let's see if maybe Ahsoka Tano makes an appearance or this character makes an appearance. But to have Crosshair, and I kind of felt sorry for him because when Hunter sat there and questioned Crosshair and Crosshair says, there may be a way to know Tantus and Wrecker's like, you knew about it all along or how to get there. Mm-hmm. And when you felt sorry for Crosshair, because he's like, that's the one place I really didn't want to go, but there is a last-ditch effort that we may try to find this one person in the galaxy that has a way to get there, I never expected to see Vice Admiral Rampart again.
Yeah. For last scene in Season 2, I think Episode 8 it was, right? Truth and Consequences. When the Emperor and Masameda threw him under the bus for quote unquote acting on his own and destroying Kamino. Mm-hmm. And we never really found out what the consequences he was going to face were. And apparently he wasn't executed or anything. He was
good
just
for
sent,
him.
Yeah. He was sent to a labor camp on Erebus. And you're right, Tom. I was not expecting to see Rampart, but it's cool to have him back.
It is so great to have him back because the arrogance in him and just the voice actor who pulls it off is just so wonderful to have him back.
Yeah. Yeah. He does such fantastic.
So wonderful.
Got a feel for the guy. He's fallen a long way since Season 2. I mean, he's we're a miner basically working.
Well, he's a laborer, I think, because he was working some kind of shift where he's pulling a ratchet and he's talking to, was it an Ugnut he was talking to?
Yep.
Yeah. And he's just like, he's sitting there just like, I have no idea what you're saying.
He's so good. Yeah. Noshir Dalal does such a fantastic job voicing him. I love seeing him back. And we'll get into more of the rescue, because that's really the whole episode this week is the rescue of former Vice Admiral Rampart and how they managed to free him from Erebus. But I think briefly, I want to touch on the point you made, Tom. You know, Crosshair hiding he knew that Rampart was the only other one who knew the location of Tantus, and so their hope is that, if they go to Rampart, they can figure out Tantus's location. As you said, Crosshair, he says he didn't mention this before because it was like the last possible option if everything else failed. Do you think, is it something he always knew in the back of his head the whole time? Like, I just don't want to go find Rampart? Or was he, because he makes a comment about not wanting to return. Do you think he was?
Do you think he was intentionally not helping them get back?
This more as like, this really is scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yes.
Like it is, you have to hope he has to hope that you can convince, an Imperial Vice Admiral who is not a fan of you or anyone, like any of your, brothers, any clone. Like, you have to hope you can convince him to tell you something about, the Empire's location. You have to find him. You have to, get him away from the Empire, which presumably they're watching him. Like, there's not a, it's not a good plan.
No.
It really is a last-ditch option. And I, really, by the time, this has popped up, I don't think Crosshair was ever, not really motivated by, Echo's plight, if you'll think about it, trying to rescue the clones. His only care is really Omega. That's the only reason he's here. And I don't think it ever made sense for him to, why scrape the bottom of the barrel for a thing that isn't going to happen?
And I think also for Crosshair, because he was so experimented on and tortured, would you really want to go back to that situation once you got away? And you would try and keep anything possibly to lead you back. You'd want to keep that hidden because you don't want to go through that experience again. And since he knew that Rampart was the only way to get back, well, he is going to have to go back to Omega. He is going to have to face his fear. He's going to have to go back and face something that damaged him to rescue her. He didn't want to, but that's the only thing he had left to go to the objective, to go get her back.
Yeah, it shows just how much he cares about her.
He didn't want to do it.
Right. Yeah, and I almost get the sense, I think I agree with both of you, I get the sense that he's got this internal struggle of, I don't want to go back to Tantus, but I need to go rescue Omega. And had Omega not sacrificed herself, I'm not sure if he maybe would have gone back to Tantus, right?
I think he
would have said, you guys go do that. I'm going to stay here. You guys go figure out what's going on. I don't want to go back. And he has to in this case. He has no other option. I don't think it was malicious necessarily. I think he's just so traumatized by what the Empire did to him.
Oh, and I have to say, when it comes to the animation and the acting that was voice acting that was done, you could tell that he just reluctantly, that was the only way he could sit there and get back to Omega, was to give up that information, because he really did not want to go back to Tantus. Steven, I agree. If that was an option for him not to go, he would have let all the other clones go back to Tantus, and he probably would have stayed out of it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. But they decide, as we mentioned, they decide they're going to head to Erebus. But first, they need to get some intel on the labor camp, and think Fee is in her contacts. They're able to find the info. I do love that this was her. I didn't really make the connection that Fee and Genoa and Crosshair had never met before. And,
I hadn't really made the connection.
Right. Until she says, Tech told me about your sparkling personality to Crosshair, which is such a great line.
Yeah. It is a great line.
Oh yeah.
Well, you also have to get back to, how did Fee get back into Pabu? Now, one thing, when the Empire was leaving Pabu, how did they not see her ship come into the planet? Because they did, it appeared, once they got Omega, the Empire quickly left.
But I don't think they cared at that point. I think they just said, we have what we need, we're pulling out.
Basically, an off-world ship coming in, they're just going to let them come in.
Yeah, I don't think they care, yeah. They have, they don't care about the batch that much. They really only care about Omega, and that made it really easy.
You know what?
You're
right on that. Yeah, you're right.
Yep, but they get an overview of the base and the labor camp, and they decide that they need to tap into a terminal at one of the checkpoints to locate Rampart, and so that's when they head to Erebus on Fee's ship, and because remember there were no transports off planet; they were all destroyed by the Empire. What did you guys think of Erebus, though? I thought it was a cool looking planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The world design and it wasn't like a dam, but like that long kind of building looked phenomenal. Really like
quarter,
the what?
Something like a prison headquarter.
Yeah.
For me, it's hard to explain.
We'll talk about this more in a moment. This episode for me was all about the juggernaut. Like,
yep. it's in the name, but yeah, I guess, Steven, let's discuss that then, because their only option is to take over the juggernaut, the Imperial troop transport, the turbo tank. And it leads to a really cool sequence, right? It's maybe half the episode. I don't know.
It's one of those things, like, maybe this is just the circles I run in, so to speak. But I always felt like the Star Wars vehicles have always been a highlight, whether it's ships, ground vehicles, whatever it might be. And I always felt like the Juggernaut had like a soft spot in a lot of people's hearts, despite only showing up very briefly in episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like this episode in so many ways just felt like a love letter to that vehicle, which not a thing I would expect out of, you know, an episode generally, but like,
that's really
cool. Man, was it good here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but wasn't it also used in The Mandalorian too? Because wasn't that the transport for the stuff that Mando
it has shown up before, but like,
yeah.
There are just so many great moments in this episode that just like...
Oh, there's beautiful moments.
Particularly when they charge the bridge and like it's busting through walls, you know, and like the missile pods pop out and unload. It was phenomenal. Like every moment of it is just phenomenal.
And the best part was when they sat there and used the rockets to destroy the front wheels of the other juggernaut that was charging at them. And they used that one as a ramp. That I thought was amazing.
To jump over the gates across the bridge. Yeah, so good. It's so good. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. That whole sequence from the trying to sneak aboard the juggernaut, and then once they have control of the cockpit, you know, then they're able to secure the vehicle. They're, you know, they're basically driving along this long bridge. It's only pretty much wide enough for the juggernaut, and that's about it. Yep. And it just makes for this great sequence where you have two juggernauts running head on at each other. Who's gonna win? You know, what's gonna happen? It's really well done. And then even once they get off the bridge, right, and they're careening along the side of this cliff on a narrow dirt road with,
got the gunships.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's great.
it's primarily an action episode. Like once they've got the setup, it's all about the juggernaut. It's titled Juggernaut. I wish I could be more verbose about it, but it was just like every moment is just, you know, at the edge. You're like, yes, that is what the juggernaut does. Very exciting.
It was. Yeah. You know, and then you have like the Empire trying to stop them and deploying stormtroopers on the top of the gun rappelling off the gunship and onto the juggernaut as it's going down the narrow path. And, even just like Hunter driving erratically, trying to throw off the stormtroopers. So good.
I have to say one thing. I really appreciated what I call the Indiana Jones moment. Mm-hmm. Where you have that stormtrooper off the side of the juggernaut, but this time, instead of being pulled up like Indiana Jones last time when he saw a rock coming to him, they were pulled up. No, this time he actually gets flattened into the cliff. Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yep.
What more could you ask for? Like at any point in this episode, what more could you ask for?
The action was just very, very well done. It's a cool episode. And Rampart, we only get to see, you know, he's in a decent amount in this episode. But I just, you know, I love how he's so full of himself still, even when he's a prisoner mm-hmm. in a labor camp, right? He's so full of himself and thinking he's the best and, you know, refusing to give the location of Tantus until they actually get him off planet. Although, mm-hmm. you know, he's he's not thrilled about the whole situation and having to work with clones because he hates clones.
But isn't it so well? And isn't it funny that he does want to play, let's say, play nice with clones, but he does, in a way, end up helping them. I mean, even though he's smug as heck, he is still sitting there saying, "You do this for me, you do this for me, I'll do that for you." You know, there is a give and take.
Yeah.
So, and he always, and to me, the way he did it was just outstanding by just the acting and the smugness of every time something came up. I was trying to remember one thing. Oh, I loved when he got knocked out by Crosshair. They finally knocked him out when he got a little bit
yep.
too rampartish.
Yes. So good. So they could jump off the juggernaut.
Yeah.
And even that moment at the very end, right, when Fee arrives and even the, you know, the blast the gunship, but even her ship is like scraping along the side of the wall. She's so close to the cliff face. And they manage to jump off just in time before the turbo tank falls off the side of the cliff. Really, really well done. But it turns out that, you know, Rampart, he can probably help them, but he doesn't actually know where Tantus is. It turns out no one knows the coordinates to ensure secrecy, but he has a plan to get there. How? I think we'll have to find out next week, because they leave us on that cliffhanger. We don't really know how they're going to get to Tantus, just that there's probably a way to do so.
I've got a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
Something that is starting to become more clear with how, like, secretive Tantus is. Obviously, Tantus is originally from the Thrawn trilogy, and it is, you know, Thrawn returns the Tantus, it's where he starts with his whole clone army and stuff like that. In the original trilogy, I mean. I'm starting to wonder if Tantus is going to remain a secret until, I mean, I guess maybe not Tales of the Empire, but like whenever Thrawn next shows up, I wonder if that is going to come into play again. Like, given how secret it is, it's not hard to imagine it never
getting discovered,
getting out.
Right. Well, if I...
That's fascinating. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm trying
to remember. I believe it was on the planet Wayland, right? I was on...
Yes.
I guess it was... No, I was getting confused. Wayland is in the Outer Rim. I was thinking of Biss for some reason.
Biss is different.
Yeah, near center of the galaxy, super hard to get to.
Yep.
Yeah. But Wayland is still very, very secretive and hidden. And so I could see it remaining hidden for quite some time and us returning to Tantus in the future.
Okay, but that's going to be a fascinating thing, because how will the final episode play out? How are they going to get Omega out? Is there going to be, let's say, a clone invasion? Because the actual Rex is going to come in with a cavalry of clones to basically spring their brothers. I mean, to keep it secret, I could see. But how are they going to wrap up the story?
I think they keep it personal. Yeah. Right. I think it's all about Omega. They rescue Omega and that's the victory. And maybe we get some hints as to what's going on Tantus, or maybe we just continue to see as we saw, you know, we'll just get little hints into what's happening. Right. Not enough to, you know, we've constantly gotten hints at once on Tantus. Right. Was it, I think, last week, right? Hemlock mentions that there's, you know, special projects in the underlevels. And, like, we're getting these little hints. And we've seen weird tanks. And we know that there's Force-sensitive kids being kidnapped on Tantus. We'll probably get an answer to what the research into Force-sensitives is. Maybe not fully, but a little bit more detail there and why Omega is important. But I think it'll be more about wrapping up Omega's story. They rescue her. They get off planet. she finds some way of hiding her abilities, and that's it. And I think the fact they brought back Rampart rather than bringing in a major character like Ahsoka, like you mentioned earlier, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's indicative of they don't want to go bigger. They're actually trying to go smaller at this point.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Kind of like how Rebels at the end was about the family. It wasn't.
Right.
And it was about Lothal, which in the scheme of things, sure, Lothal's important, but it's really not that important. You know, like it is, but it isn't. It's more about the relationships and the.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's important for those people, not important for the galaxy.
Then I could see what you're saying, because that would play along with Rebels, to where if the Empire knew Rex and Gregor and Wolf invaded Tantus, then they wouldn't have been treated that way. The way they were in Rebels, basically by way of retired clones. Yes, you can still call the Empire, which they did. Yes, we'll still give you information, which they did. But they didn't go after them for basically being rebels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But I mean, you're also talking about that's a boatload of clones that are going to keep it secret.
True.
Yeah.
But they might wrap up this episode.
Yeah. Like, lots of theories, but they might wrap up the CX program. I could see them wrapping up that storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably going to be much more personal. But this episode,
obviously, it ends. Omega arrives at Mount Tantus. Hemlock escorts her into the vaults. And now we begin again, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we do get a brief moment with Emery Carr and Omega. And, you know, she tells Omega that she's glad that Omega's safe. And I loved Omega's response. Am I? Am I really safe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct question.
I hope we get a little bit more with Emery, because we know that she's a clone as well. I feel like there's got to be something else going on with her before the series ends.
I would assume so. Like, even not the previous episode, I think the one before that, like, you know, she's resisting calling the kids just by their numbers. Hands the doll over. There is something there for sure.
She's starting to crack just that bit.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it also appeared Nala Se was the same way. Nala Se appeared, didn't really call the kids by numbers. She at least appeared to have some kind of interaction with them and not so cold. And Emery's kind of doing the same way.
And in many ways, it feels like she's just going through the motions too. Like she's doing her job, but her heart's not in it. And I think she's very much concerned about what's going on, but doesn't feel like she can do anything. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, Hemlock, he does reiterate that Omega's blood is the, you know, her samples of, you know, her blood with the M count is the only one that's, they've been able to replicate without degradation. It sounds like mixing her blood with samples from other test subjects. And so she's a vital piece of the work here, but you know, she's taken to the vault and introduced to the rest of the kids and told it's her new home. And that's where Juggernaut leaves us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we get into the review? Tom, what would you rate Juggernaut?
I'm going to flat out give it a 9. I thought it was a great episode. I did not expect Rampart to be the character to come back, although I think at this point it's very fitting because of his relation to the clones. And it's going to be fun to see how they're going to work together to solve the mystery of Tantus and how they're going to get there. So I'm giving it a 9. My 9 Womp Rats, the one thing you didn't see when Rampart was arguing with the Ugnaught, it wasn't that the Ugnaught did anything wrong. It was the 9 Womp Rats that actually caused the commotion. And Rampart was actually blaming the wrong guy. Or wait a minute. No, I take that back. No, that's true. I was going to also say they were able to translate the Ugnaught to and forget it. It just 9 Womp Rats. They caused the kerfuffle. And William, why don't you go next?
Sounds good. This was a really fun episode. You know, fairly straightforward in many ways, right? Omega arrives on Tantus, gets taken into the vault. they go to what's the name of the planet with
Erebus?
Thank you, Erebus. and they head to Erebus and they rescue Rampart. But while it's straightforward, it's just the action is so well done. The Vice Admiral Rampart, former Vice Admiral Rampart, sorry, is just such a great character that even though it's all fairly straightforward, the action's great, the characters are great, and it just makes for a really, really enjoyable episode. So yeah, I have to give it 8.5 Womp Rats out of 10. Really great. Love it. And, I'm excited to see what happens next week. And these 8.5 Womp Rats, they helped man the juggernaut and make sure that all the weapons were firing correctly. So there's a lot of weapons on that mm-hmm. turbo tank. Steven.
I think I'm also going to go with a 9 here. And it's definitely one of those episodes where, like, you know, the first 5 to 10 minutes are like, I don't know, more of a 7 to 8. The last couple minutes is a 7 or 8, but like anytime the juggernaut is on screen, I was
10
like,
out of 10
edge of my seat excited. I'm not usually like a ground ship person. I tend to be more of a spaceship person, but it gives me the same feelings when we saw like Lucian's, fighter battle in Andor. Like this is art incarnate and I am happy with it. So I'm giving it a 9 just out of that. And all 9 of my Womp Rats, they each get their own juggernaut fully loaded with missiles. You know, they're having a good time.
I love it.
Nice.
I love it. Well, coming up next week on Ion Cannon, we have The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 13, Into the Breach. We're heading into the last three episodes of the entire series. So, I'm going to miss The Batch, but it sounds like they're really heading toward a great finale. So yeah, I'm excited to touch base with all of you next week as we review Into the Breach. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Ion Cannon podcast, your source for entertainment reviews from a galaxy far, far away. For over a decade, Ion Cannon has covered every corner of the saga, from the films and animated series like The Clone Wars and Rebels, to books, comics, games, and more. If you like what you hear, please rate us in your favorite podcast client. Your review will help this show grow within the Star Wars community. We can be found at our website, ioncannoncast.com, and you can follow us through Facebook and Twitter. To email us, you can do so at contact@ioncannoncast.com. The Ion Cannon podcast is not associated with Lucasfilm, the Walt Disney Company, or any and all of their respective trademarks or copyright holders. Any opinion expressed on the show are that of the hosts. This podcast is a production by fans, for fans, and is copyright 2018.